Hi, welcome to the Shades of Black Parenting podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
And we've got a very special guest. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. My name is Alima. I am an old friend of Ola, actually. We went to secondary school together, so we met when we were 11.
Correct.
I work in investment banking, but I also have a small interior decorating side hustle business type thing.
What's your interior?
Oh, Four Corners Interiors. Look me up on Instagram.
Yep. So we are in the Four Corners home.
It is so stunning, guys. I wish I could take you on a tour of the place, but it's just beautiful. Oh, so thank you, Alima, for having us today.
Oh, you're most welcome.
It looks like what it looks like on Instagram, okay?
Exactly like it does. Oh. So it's International Women's Day, and we thought we would do a very special episode talking about womanhood and motherhood and feminism as well, which is a bit of a dirty word sometimes.
Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
We have Alima today, and Alima is someone who I know is passionate about womanhood. So we thought you'd be a great guest to come on. So I think first of all, we'll discuss, what does being a black feminist mean to you guys?
First of all, do you even identify as one?
I don't.
Ah.
Alima?
It's interesting, when you sent me the questions, I was like, okay, give that a lot of thought, because I would say, if you would have asked me that when I was 15, I would have said yes.
Really?
Yeah, from quite a young age, I was really on this feminism thing. Yes. When I was at college, I did sociology A level, and even then, studying feminism, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely a feminist. As the years have gone by, it's not that the issues around it have been less kind of relevant to me, but I think I've come to a level of comfortability where I don't have to see it as like a feminist fight all the time. So the reasons why I kind of became a feminist, and it wasn't necessarily black feminism, was because of my family dynamics at home. So my parents both always worked, but obviously the traditional values were always there in terms of wife does the cooking and the cleaning, although the kids did so as well, and the man would just work and not have to contribute much more. And the whole concept of training myself and my sisters used to really annoy me. Like, it used to grind my gears to be told you need to be trained, so when you go to your husband's house, blah blah blah. And I understand it now from an adult perspective, but at the time I didn't have any time for that kind of stuff, because I was, as far as I was concerned, if you were asking me to become a lawyer and have this big career, why do I have to also be this domesticated housewife at the same time? And you're not training my brother.
That's what I was about to say. Was your brother being
my brother
trained?
Was there. He would still do housework, mind you, and he did learn to cook, and he's very independent, but that was more so of his own accord, as opposed to because they said you have to learn how to make stew, you have to learn how to make, you know, jollof rice or whatever. So I found that I became a feminist more as a kind of rebellious reaction to how I was being groomed as a woman.
Oh.
But later in life, when I guess for marriage, really, I found myself, ironically, like before I got married, I would always ask questions whenever I'd meet guys, like, you know, if I get back from work, this was my question for every single
I love it, I'm waiting for it.
Yeah. If I come back from work at, say, 8 o'clock, and you've been at home since 5 and you're hungry, are you waiting for me to come back to make you dinner, or are you going to cook for yourself? I used to always ask
that. This
was
the screening question.
Mate, it was 100% part of the question.
What kind of answers would you get?
Quite varying. Most of the time, they'd obviously say, yeah, I would 100% cook for myself, maybe even cook something for you as well.
Maybe even.
But I remember there being a couple of guys, one guy in particular, who he would answer every question that I would ask in honesty, but incredibly negative. And he would be like, well, I'll probably get a takeaway.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, so you're not even going to try to cook for yourself and maybe for me? He was like, I don't see it. So I was like, right,
really at least he told you
then. Yeah, no, exactly. You know, A for honesty.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he was incredibly honest. So when I got married, I found myself doing the opposite. Whenever I'd see my husband cooking, because I hadn't done so, I'd feel like, oh no, I'm being a bad wife, like I haven't done.
Yeah.
And I remember messaging my friends being like, why am I having this conflict in my mind? Or I want him to do these things, and I've always wanted a man who can be, you know, self-sufficient. But suddenly I feel like whenever he does do it, I'm not fulfilling my duties, even though I am still working and contributing to the house.
But it's the grooming, isn't it? And
yeah,
the
that's it. It's already been kind of...
Because I felt the same way.
Same.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that's kind of my experience of feminism. So I think when it comes to raising my daughter, I actually have a book called Baby Feminist upstairs that my boss got for me. I think I will raise her with certain values where she doesn't have that that convoluted idea like I do. She'll be quite confident in knowing that if you're going to be in a household where you choose to split things financially, there's nothing wrong with your husband doing some housework and doing some cooking as well. Don't feel guilty or feel like you're being a bad wife if your husband occasionally cooks, because you're both fulfilling the financial obligations of the household, so that other things can also be shared. However, if you do feel like, because of your natural nature to be nurturing and to look after the home and to be mothering, that you want to do a bit more, that's also fine.
Mm.
Just don't feel like you have to do any particular thing, as long as you're not fulfilling your duties, whether it be within the realms of a Christian faith or your Islamic faith. Make sure you're comfortable with it and you think that you're doing the right thing by, you know, God, I guess, as well. Yeah, so that's my decision.
And I agree, because one thing that I've come to learn, I say now, we live in a contemporary time.
Mm.
A lot of households are set up in a modern way.
Yeah.
Both partners are working. Mm. But for some reason, we still hold on to this... we still want that tradition there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why are we having a traditional, why do we want this to be traditional in that way when this is not a traditional setup?
Yeah. Yeah,
like, so we're both coming home from work. We're both working the same amount of hours,
that's it.
But I still got to do everything for the kids and I still have to cook and I still have to clean. But we have both worked the same hours today. Do you get what I'm saying? So, and then I think for me, I got to a place where I began to be, almost resentful to that old school idea in that way, because I just thought like the times are different, and the way that our households should be set up should be reflective of that, unless you have, it's your personal preference, unless it's a case of I prefer to do all the cooking. I know some guys that they prefer to cook and their wives don't cook, and I'm like, if that's what works for you, great. So Sam, what would you say?
But then guys, you haven't answered the question.
Do we identify as
feminists?
Yeah.
I would say more yes than no. When it comes to women's rights, on a whole nother, and now we're not talking about like the household, etc. General kind of equality, gender pay gap, women being seen as the bottom of the barrel in terms of between the two genders.
Yeah.
I will, anytime I hear any kind of story that alludes to any of that, I will be the first to put my hand up and try and help that situation, or to speak up against the inequality of it. Because obviously we're in a privileged situation where we live in a country where, I mean, the previous prime minister was a woman, but there are many people who are not in that same circumstance, where in their country, women are not, you know, were not able to drive for a long time, were not able to take certain positions. Most of the top ranking positions at companies, just anywhere, are taken by men. So in that sense, being a feminist does drive me to try to be a boss in a bit of a way, where I'm saying, I'm a woman, but I can still do just as much as you can do as a woman. So in that sense, I do feel like I identify as a feminist.
Sam, do you identify as a feminist?
I would say yes. Okay. Yeah, I would say yes. I wouldn't, you know, if not really like a tag I'd give myself or identity, I would say like, oh, I'm Black, British, Igbo,
feminist.
It just wouldn't be there. But I think same with you, in terms of the actual ideals and the drive to equality, definitely a feminist, definitely. And I think my colleagues will probably say, oh, you're so feminist, maybe from like how I speak at work and everything, and they might be a bit surprised to hear me say that it's not, that the word is not that big in my vocabulary, but ideals wise, definitely I'm a feminist.
Black feminist?
Well, I'm Black, so...
Okay.
I would say the Blackness part would be relevant to me. And it's funny because I remember when that became a thing, I remember thinking, oh...
What became a thing?
Black feminism as a separate, you know, offshoot to feminism.
Yeah.
Because of the different stories.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, my first reaction, even as being somebody who's known to be very pro-Black, I feel like, oh, is it everything that we have to now make our own struggle? However, I do understand that our struggles are incredibly different. And while feminism is about women... If you're talking about a hierarchy of how things are, we will still be below the white woman.
Yeah. The white, okay, yeah.
In terms of the white experience, they still have that white privilege, irrespective of the fact that they're women as well.
Yeah. So in a way, so it's almost like we have, if you were to look at it this way, two negatives.
Yeah.
So
we're
women, and then on top of that, we're Black women. Yeah. Whereas the white women, have the white privilege,
she's just white.
She's just a woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say though, just going back to our conversations about the household part of it, so I do feel like part of the reason why we have that kind of element of guilt and element of I should be doing X, Y, and Z is also because, aside from it being a traditional thing, I'm not so sure 100% of how it is biblically, but I know Islamically, men and women are equal but different in terms of what our God-given responsibilities and rights are.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I think also has driven me to not fight against it so much. For okay. example, when it comes to nurturing and mothering, I've always been incredibly, maternal growing up. And I know there are some men who are as well, but I think that's like a naturally God-given trait that I have because I'm a woman.
Mm.
And therefore there are, like for example, when you're pregnant and they talk about the whole nesting period,
mm.
that's something that women go through on a more hormonal level. But that's also, I think, God-given because women were created to be the carriers of life, the mm. nurturers, the homemakers. So even though we've chosen to take a more, you know, wide-reaching path in terms of working and providing as well, I think in terms of how and what we were created to do, our roles are equal, but they can be different in a way that shouldn't necessarily be seen as negative.
Yeah,
but because
yeah.
of feminism, people look down on somebody who, for example, chooses to be a housewife or chooses to just look after her household because they think, well, why don't you work? Now we can work, now we can do X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
But remember that at the foundation of things, there's nothing wrong with just wanting to stick to what your natural desires are if they are around, you know,
yeah.
homemaking. And
I think the thing about feminism and what it should be is that you're respecting a woman's choice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you're allowing her to have the same opportunities as men
yeah.
do. So if she's presented with the opportunity to have a good education, to have good healthcare, to get a good job, but she decides that I really want to stay at home,
mm.
then that's fine.
Yeah.
But if she's not able to access good education, a good healthcare, good jobs,
yeah.
then that's where the problem lies. Yeah.
yeah.
So I, like, being a stay-at-home mum, I was a stay-at-home mum for a year, and I struggled. Like, it's so tough. It's
mm.
so tough being the one who's managing everything. Because actually, the job doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as a, you know, working parent, you go to work and you're still being a parent. And then you come home and you're still a parent and you have other things to do as well. But I have that choice, and if someone decides to stay at home, then that's fine as well. Like, that's how I see things anyway.
Yeah.
Like, whatever a woman chooses to do is fine as long as she's not prohibited from choosing.
Yeah.
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 That's my philosophy, I think. But it's interesting you're saying about religion. So yeah, Ola and I are Christians. I've been thinking about this a lot. And biblically, I think you can back up the same rationale that women are the nurturers, women are the ones that are supposed to be looking after children and all that stuff, and then the men are the ones who should be providing and etc. But even the nature of God that we talk about,
mm-hmm.
so God as the Father, but we talk about Him being loving. We talk about Him being kind. We talk about Him, you know, nurturing. We use all these very feminine, what's become very feminine
mm-hmm.
terms
mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. True.
Or characteristics to describe a father.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, is a very clear example of the fact that men can do those things too. They can
be
those characteristics too. And I think I think over time we've just really corrupted what fatherhood actually means. Like, even with my mum and, like, the generations before her, they will talk about their fathers being really tender and very kind and very loving. And I'm like, oh, so where has this whole idea of a man being, oh, I'm going to work, I'm going to come home and I'll just be cooked for and that's it. Like, children, send them away. Like, where is that?
I think it is a very...
from?
Well, I think being Nigerian, being African, I know it's a very... traditional way of things.
What is
That type of setup? Like, okay, this is daddy, you know, get the big meat in the pot type of life,
yeah.
isn't it?
Mm.
You leave that meat is for daddy. Put more meat.
I mean,
I experienced that. I think, like, I think there's just something. It's also to do with honoring them and respecting
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
I think it's embedded in the Nigerian. I know for Nigerians anyway. It's embedded in our culture.
I think there is definitely some virtue in respecting a man and honouring him and his role in the household.
Mm.
But I'm just talking about the characteristics of fatherhood
yeah,
and, like, the characteristics
agree.
Of motherhood. Like,
mm.
why
is
are
the
softer
hard
ones?
And women are so soft,
yeah,
yeah,
related to motherhood and why to father, and then the harder ones are related to fatherhood. When even if you talk about religion, like, we'll sit there and we'll pray, oh, Father God, you are so loving, you're so kind, you're so merciful. Like, we'll say all these words,
mm.
which we now associate with being feminine.
I feel like that's changing now a little bit though, because if I look at my husband's fathering in comparison to my dad, was very, and obviously he came from Nigeria young, and he also, both are interesting, but they both kind of grew up without their fathers, so they had both passed away quite young, so they had very hard, you know, going strict mothers who raised them and siblings. But my dad was very stern, strict. We were, you know, I'm not sure about you guys, but we were so scared of our dad when we were growing up. Whenever we'd hear the door, everyone would jump up and start cleaning something before. Literally. And as he's got older, he's softened up so much more, and it's different to see. I guess with each child, he became a little bit more softer. Yeah. But with my husband, we're both quite aligned when it comes to how strict we'll be. But he's incredibly loving. He's very, you know, kissy and very playful, and he's very playful with kids in general, and I think that's because he has taken from the faith, in the sense of that's how he's supposed to be as a father. Whereas my dad, I guess, not being as religious, he didn't take those kind of elements where he should learn that you as a father should still be incredibly loving. Even it's very important to be really loving, because for example, for a female, the first love you get from a man is from your dad, and for a male, you need that kind of love and understanding from your father, so it's not just me trying to kind of show him I'm a man. I can also be vulnerable around him as well. So I think it is changing, but I definitely agree that growing up in Africa, maybe it is related to the struggle. It was very much the man is like, you know, bring my food, wash my hands, I'm not going to cry in front of you, and none of that kind of lovey-dovey stuff. But I think with time, and I guess with modernity and people adapting to a more Western way of thinking, I think it's changing a little bit.
So what examples of black feminism have you seen, or that, or black motherhood, if you don't identify as a black feminist?
A black motherhood, I thought about that. I don't know why I feel like I should ask you, because you're part of my childhood, but I don't feel like there were many outside of the real life examples, like our own, maybe like aunties or friends' mums.
But those are great examples though.
Yeah, they were the only, there was no examples on TV that I can think of. I genuinely British thought ones, about it. There were no examples I could think. Yeah, unless you were watching like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
yeah, that's what I was
about. And even just the black. Yeah. Okay. So for motherhood, it was my mother, obviously, my aunties, and my friends' mothers. Mm. That was it. There was nothing commercially.
Yeah, I think I would say the same as well. Like I was raised with my mum. She's a single parent. And then two other families who were also single mother families as well, for like different reasons. And I think in total there are like maybe 20 kids between the three families. Right. Maybe that's an exaggeration, I can't start counting now. But yeah, so you can imagine, like, my mum's a teacher, so 6 week holiday, summer holiday.
All at her house.
Everyone at my house.
That sounds so fun.
And so, or like, I don't know, some weekends we go to their house. It was just a really wonderful community, right, with matriarchs essentially.
Wow, that's really cool.
And so for me, like, I had so many powerful, you know, feminine figures who wouldn't identify as feminists, definitely not, but they were running businesses, they were doing degrees, they were running their homes by themselves. So, you know, me, I'm married and I'm complaining for two kids, but they were like running proper, like they're running stuff, they were running things. Seriously, like, they were doing so well, making money, not even just making money, but they were also sending money back home to, you know, support families there. So they were just wonderful examples of motherhood, of black motherhood, of, they wouldn't say, but I would say, black feminism. They were really encouraging for us to all kind of get, you know, good educations, and they were encouraging of us to just kind of be ourselves in a way as well. So same for me. My mum, my aunts, I wouldn't say my friends' mums, we weren't that close, but definitely my mum's best friends. They were awesome.
And it's interesting, just to add, because I know that in a lot of the Caribbean society, they say that the woman runs it.
Yeah.
Like the women, they run the house, they run everything.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that out. I found that quite interesting. Mm.
I would agree. I think it would be, when I remember trying to think about this question as to growing up, who I saw as like black feminists or examples in terms of motherhood, and aside from friends, parents, there was nothing in the media so much. If I did look to that, it would always be American shows.
Yeah,
literally.
That's what we had in terms of blackness. And in terms of feminism, I guess the only example that came to mind straight away when I thought of black feminists is Chimamanda.
Okay.
Adichie, because she's a very vocal feminist, yes. And at a time when it's not really as spoken about in my circles anyway, yeah. as it has been for others, I guess. So that would be my only kind of feminist example as a black feminist. But growing up, I think I'd have to echo what you have said, like just friends, mothers, and yeah.
Can I just ask, it's not a prescribed question that we discussed, but given that, like, these are the people that we've respected and we've seen like growing up, do you think that we still have that today? Do you think like our children or children of today would answer in the same way?
No. As we're answering examples of motherhood or
examples
black
of black feminists or black motherhood. So like a 15-year-old, would they answer this today? Would they answer in the same way that we have answered?
I think it's different. I think they definitely will have more.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I think they will definitely have yeah. more. Because I feel like we didn't have that British generation so much before us. A lot of our parents were first generation. Yeah. Well, we're the first generation British.
Yeah.
So a lot of our parents immigrated here. So we didn't have that example before us. But I feel like, well, we are definitely creating that example mm-hmm. for the generations that come after us. And even, so when I was young, let's say, for example, Jamelia.
Oh, yeah,
when I
yeah.
was younger, she was an example to me of womanhood. She hadn't had children at that time.
Mm.
Now she's an example to me of motherhood, and Shademi, my daughter, will also have that example from her of motherhood as well. And these days, you can go online,
yeah, see so much.
I've seen so many, yeah, yeah. I so think it's many completely things. Different. It's different. Yeah. Like before, we had to look necessarily maybe just for the TV,
and it's just black Americans.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was that.
I think the generations now, people may not be coming out as out and out feminists, but in terms of having black female strong examples, I think they've got an abundance of that.
Yeah, I feel like you can go to Google and type, let's say for example, it's black mothers you're looking for, like black mothers in the UK.
Mm.
The names will roll down.
No, it's true, I would definitely agree with that. On the flip side though, I feel like they won't have as much to say about the community aspect. Like, because I feel like I gained so much from community motherhood. I don't know if kids today have that.
I think that's true.
Because we're living more like individualized
lives. Everyone's
living
very independently.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, even for us to link up with the kids.
Yeah, it took months.
It's a struggle.
Yeah, which is so interesting.
And I think it's sad, I feel like. It's very sad. In many ways, I think it's very unnecessary.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have to be
everyone
that.
Everyone seems to be unusually busy.
Yes, we're all so busy.
But aren't we living the same lives or similar to our parents? How come every weekend we could see our cousins and friends and friends?
Yes.
But suddenly everyone is so booked and busy that
we're booking like
months
in advance.
I do find that really strange sometimes. I don't understand what is it you're doing. I can be busy, but I always say that I can shift something around if need be. But I feel like everyone's so, the excuse of being busy and we're chasing, you know, our side hustle or whatever, maybe it's because of that.
Maybe
because of social media and the time we're living in now, where everyone wants to have a separate means of income, which is fine. Your spare time is taken up from, you know, what we would be doing normally when life was a bit more relaxed, as in playing with the kids, going to the park, taking the kids to the theme park. Now everyone's also, I've got to go for a meeting, I've got a networking event to go to.
Yeah, I think the priorities have changed.
Yeah.
And what I will add is that when we were younger, there's certain worries, if you like, although we still have that worry, there's not, like, say for example, when I was growing up, there was times when I lived in my cousin's house and my cousin lived in my house.
Yeah.
And for us as the young ones, it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was like such a long
time. True, actually. You might be there for like the whole summer holiday.
Yeah, you'd be there, and it was so fun.
Yeah.
But all, you know.
But could you imagine me saying to you, Amar's coming to stay at your house for 6 weeks?
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Why? And the thing is,
are you sick or something?
Are you a husband?
This is it. But back in those days when we were younger, that's what we did.
Yeah.
And Tibose is coming from Nigeria. She will be staying with us.
Yes.
And you make do.
And you do.
That's why I was so keen to have our little nursery arrangement things. I was like, okay, our kids may not see each other frequently, but if I'm picking up yours or you're picking up mine, at least they see each other every day or every other day. And we're doing what, that whole idea of us being on each other's like pickup list is, to me, that's the community motherhood that we don't have.
Yeah.
And I was like, I called both of them. I was like, I called Ola and my other friends.
Yeah.
Can you guys be the second pickup for my child? Because they go to the same nursery. Why not? This is a community effort to raise these children.
Yeah.
So let's try and bring that back a little bit.
Right.
And I would say, you know, I'm not sure if you guys had the same experience, but growing up for me, We used to go to like an African party almost every single weekend.
Yes,
you
yes.
see, and there weren't these small parties that we do now at like kids club or whatever with the little party
all night,
party dress,
love it,
and the live band afterwards. And we just, and I knew growing up, actually as a teenager, me and my friends used to always discuss that we're not gonna have that when we get older. I can that it's gonna fizzle out, because that they took that from Nigeria and brought it here.
Yeah.
Whereas we're now kind of taking on British culture. We'll have like a little garden party.
Soft play. No food for the adults.
So I think that's also influencing the lack of community that we have in that we're even socializing in a completely different way to how our parents did, which makes me really sad.
Yeah, that part I would, that part is sad. I think we should make a conscious effort to hold on to that.
I think so.
Because even one thing, this is throwing it off topic, but let's say, for example, one thing that I love also about our culture is, say, for example, I know it's very popular in Asian culture as well. If someone passed away, in our family, I remember when my grandma passed away, that day, everybody came to the house.
That's right,
because
yeah.
that's what we do. That's
yeah, right. we still
we're checking up on each other. Is that more to do with
Islamically?
Yeah.
No, I think it's partly culturally, but obviously Islamically, we would bury the person the very next day.
Yeah.
So you would straight away see everyone. Then people would just be coming to visit straight after, because there are guidances in terms of how you're supposed to visit people when they're sick and also when somebody's bereaved. So you would have a religious obligation almost to see that person and to visit and to, you know, help them, bring them something to eat. So I think for us, and I think also with the Ghanaian community, they're also really good that when
Ghanaians
someone
are
passes
very,
away, that community spirit really does come in.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think
that
will continue with our generation?
No,
yes.
I do.
I had a friend who's, one of my aunties passed away not year before last year, and from what she said to me, my friend herself, and also from my experiences with the entire situation, she felt so overwhelmed with how much love and support she had. Every other day somebody was around, or we'd all come together and organize to get together and be around her.
Who was it that passed?
I'm not sure I should say.
No, was it, no, I mean, was it her auntie?
Her mum.
Oh, her mum.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I feel like if it's okay, fine, but I do think that if it's a mum, it's a little bit different. But the way I see it now, I would be very happy if it was that way. I feel like it would be very much a text.
Oh, no.
Or a
phone call.
No,
I could never do
or
that.
People do things of, let me know when it's good to come around.
So I feel like, you know, it depends who it is.
If you're my girl, I'm coming over.
Yeah, I feel like so. I'm coming.
Unless it's going to be too invasive, I know it's really not the right time. It depends on the person.
No, but culturally, what you're saying is culturally and religiously, like, it's a given that you are going to go to that person's house. And it's, you know, collective, you know, mourning, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like today,
I
would be
it's
like,
kind of,
babe, I'm really sorry.
You might not, you
might
even call them, just WhatsApp.
I'm,
oh, hey,
let
I
me
just
know.
Heard.
I don't want to, do you know
I
what I mean? Like, if you need anything,
actually,
and maybe like a few weeks later or a few days later, I'm like, okay, I'm going to come. Is this day okay for you?
It's almost the same with like when you have a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. When my friends have, I'm like, I was on calling their husbands or, you know,
I think I can't complain against us for that. When did I come to CMR?
Oh, yeah, exactly. All my friends came so late. Obviously, I had a lot going on at the time, and I remember not messaging anyone until a couple of days after I'd had her. But I remember thinking to myself in hindsight that, I guess it was also because a lot of my friends had kids a bit younger than me. I was there. I wanted to be at the hospital. I remember when Leo had Mally, I was at the hospital.
Was you?
Yeah. To me, it wasn't a question. If you have a baby or someone passes away, I'm coming.
Yeah, that's
whereas
so
now I'm very much like, I have to come if I'm welcome to come, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't feel like it's appropriate for me to come straight away, so you can wait a few days. But
and I remember when my dad was in hospital, you even visited him, didn't you?
Yeah,
I remember my dad was in hospital, you even visited
him. I remember doing those things when I was younger. Bless you. I remember doing those things when I was younger, like as part of the church community, when I was part of the youth kind of group and everything, someone was going through something, we're all there. One of the church girls, her mum died, and I think it was the same night she died, or she was in hospital over a while, and then she ended up dying in the early hours of the morning. We were all there, you know, she didn't have anybody else, we were all there. But today, if one of my friend's mums was, God forbid, you know, unwell or whatever, I don't think I would be there.
I
don't know if I should go. And it's very British, actually.
It's very British.
Yeah.
And there are things that we
it's
have to be
cold.
Careful not to take from.
Yeah, I
from
feel like we need to make a conscious decision and a conscious list of the things that we should bring back.
But then we should
the
also
we should
be very welcoming
to.
Too. Because, and we should also, I don't know, keep in mind, because I'm thinking when I had the babies, friends would come, but stuff like, oh God, I'm going to call, oh God. Okay, sorry guys. So okay, let me use myself as an example. When my friend had a baby, I went to go and see her, but I bought food.
Yeah.
And you were gonna do you know what that? I mean? I brought food.
Which is what you should do.
Yeah, which is what you should do. Culturally as well. Yes.
I think the British culture is just come with flowers or whatever.
Yeah. Or maybe even expect.
Yeah.
Where's the drink? Because I'm hungry.
I came to visit you. Yeah, it's true.
They're going to find their own food, love.
I told her, please don't put any makeup on. Please don't try and get dressed. Mm. I'm just coming to see you guys and we're not going to stay for very long. Mm. I think we had maybe 4 to 5 minutes. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I brought food for the week. That was it. Do you know what I mean? And we left quite quickly. We bought drinks and everything. Mm. I said, we don't need to eat. We ate before we came. Don't feel like you have to host us.
Yeah, that's it.
Whereas now, well, you're hosting people.
But you're the queen host, though.
Yeah, but that's why when I had Amal, I wasn't trying to have everyone over. I wanted everyone to come, but I needed you to. I was hoping that people would know.
Yeah.
Bring some fruit with you.
Mm. Bring something.
I'm not going to be able to serve. I wasn't, you know, I had a C-section, so I wasn't able to be actively running around in the kitchen and whatnot. So that would have put me off if I felt like people were going to come and expect to be given food, because I'm like, that's not really. And when I came to see your baby, I wasn't expecting you to give me nothing. If I was hungry, I might even bring takeaway. I know you would be offended. I'd buy it for you as well, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I understand that culturally there's a bit of a skew there, because to one extent we are naturally inclined to want to serve, and you feel like you're doing something bad even if they're coming to your house unannounced. When you just had the baby, you still feel like, oh, I need to give you something to eat. Whereas culturally, on the same breath, you're supposed to bring something for that person. So similarly, when someone passes away, I'm not sure if it's a cultural or an Islamic thing, but I think it's the after the 8 days or something, you're not supposed to. It's not a big. It's not when people come to your house for like the wakekeeping or whatever it's called. You don't serve food. You'd only give them like snacks, maybe like puff and a drink or something. I think that's actually cultural, and that's because again, if a grieving family, the last thing they want to be doing is now making big pots of beloved rice. If you want to bring food for them, fine, but. This is not my priority right now.
Yeah. So what would you like your children to understand about Black womanhood? Because we've all got daughters. I've got a son as well. He's still a baby. But what would you like your children to understand about motherhood, womanhood?
I would like her to understand about Black motherhood, Black womanhood.
Yeah, either.
Let's
say womanhood, because she may not want to become a mother.
She must be. She's a mother.
As soon as I said it, I was like, take it back.
I would like her to understand that she has a rich history on a wider level and down our generation. Mm. I'd like her to understand that... there's community, like we've discussed, and there's a village. I will groom that and support that. I'll make a conscious effort now.
Yeah, me too.
I would like her to believe that she is strong. Mm. I'd like her to believe that anything is possible. And one thing that I'm really big on, despite her being Black, one thing that I'm big on is I want her to know that excellence cannot be unnoticed.
Listen, because she is Black, because not despite, no, because she is Black.
No, but I mean more so, let's say, for example, she goes for a job interview.
Yeah.
And sometimes people say, you know, you've got to work that much harder because you're Black. Yeah. I want her to believe that because I am great at what I am, I will be chosen.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? I don't want her to maybe even fight for the token card. Yeah. It's more because I'm great. Mm. Yes, and just all the connotations that come with that. All the connotations that come with strength. All the connotations that come with beauty and ambition. I just want her to be anything she wants to be. Yeah. And there's a Bible scripture that says, as he thinketh in his heart, and so he is. Which means whatever you believe in your heart,
that's right.
You can be that.
That's right.
So, and I live by that.
The New Age will say, oh, affirmations.
Yes, affirmations. Exactly. Yeah.
I would echo what you said as well. But I think one big thing that I would want to instill in her is just knowing that she is a whole person with or without a man, with or without bearing children, with or without having a husband or getting married.
That's right.
Because I feel like even with the times, and I can speak from personal experience, and I guess it's because of how I felt growing up, getting married and having, you know, my own family, etc. To me, I'm pretty sure that to me felt like a goal, because it made me feel like a whole person.
Mm.
And I couldn't... I remember actually, funnily enough, this is something that you said to me. I think we were 23 and we were at Tina's house. And I think two of you were in a relationship and two of us were single. And you said something like, oh, being single was a blessing. And I couldn't have disagreed with you more that day. Do you remember? I was like, what do you mean? I didn't understand it at all. And I think that's partly because I felt as though I wasn't fully fulfilled, or I wasn't as much of a woman because I didn't have a man, or I wasn't, you know, on the way to getting married or whatever. And I, by God, do not want my daughter to have that same feeling because I think it's so limiting, it's so unnecessary, and it's so kind of debilitating on you as a person because it kind of means you put some of your baskets in somebody else's, you know, your eggs in someone else's basket because you feel like only once I have that will I be whole. So that's one of the big things that I think I want to instill in her. Not to say that I don't have to get married and have kids, because I would obviously love that for her, and I think love is a beautiful thing. But I think she needs to know that with or without it, she's still a whole, amazing person to God. She's still as magnificent as she would be if she didn't have those things, kind of thing. And just know that she's not limited. Obviously, I have an additional, as what, from my perspective, being visibly Muslim is an additional disadvantage in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, black, female, Muslim. If I didn't wear a hijab, maybe not so much, but being very visibly Muslim, it's something that can be difficult on in many different levels. And obviously, if my daughter chooses to wear hijab and practice the same way I do, I want her to know that there are women like myself who have, you know, tried to remove those boundaries and those barriers, and it is possible. Because thankfully for me, I have had some negative experiences, you know, being a covered woman, but it's not been on the scale of some others. So I know it is possible career-wise as well. So I think I'd really instill just knowing that you can do anything you want. Don't worry about, you know, what you look like, as long as you are excellent and you are doing the best you can. You know, the sky's the limit, essentially.
This is it.
Oh, I love that. I want to be you guys' children. So I would just echo everything. I had some thoughts, but now I've just been everything you guys are saying just like reverberating in my mind. I want my daughter to know that she is whole. I also want her to, because we say, I agree with everything you guys are saying, but also I feel like there's also this shame attached to single women who desire, you know, a family, who desire a relationship. And I want her to feel that if she does want to go down that route, that she's worthy of companionship. Because companionship is so important, and it's so, people die from loneliness, do you know what I mean? So I want her to know that if she chooses to get married or be in a relationship or whatever, not only is she whole, but she's worthy of companionship. She and it's normal to feel that way. Or to want that.
A good companion.
I will not talk about her so much because I agree with everything you guys said, and I want the same for my daughter, but maybe for my son I'll talk about that. What I want for him is he can use me as an example of womanhood, as an example of someone who has had goals and dreams for herself and has worked towards achieving that. Someone who has found herself worthy of an equal partner, someone who is loved and supported by, you know, a man in a good way. I want him, and I was also thinking, even just on a very like rudimentary level in terms of physically, one of the reasons why I shy away from kind of like plastic surgery and those kinds of things, because I want both my daughter and my son to see what a body after motherhood looks like. Because, or just even just the aging body, because I feel like it's such a, it's like a dirty word now, you know, to be aging, to be maturing. And I want them both to see this is what a woman looks like, you know, for my son, so that he won't have these really strange ideas of what a woman should look like. Like, yes, a woman's boobs do hang a bit lower when she gets older, you know, stretch marks, all those, I want him to see these things as normal and as beautiful in their own right. Yeah, and I just want him to see a woman, or see women, as equal, as worthy of love, as worthy of respect. And I think that's what I want.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So
that was a good question. I like that question.
Yeah. And actually, I'm going to think about it more now as well. Like, I think it will, when you ask yourself these questions, it then drives your actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and makes you a bit more intentional. Honestly, exactly. Word.
Exactly.
Makes us more intentional. Mm. So things that I'm going to take away from this conversation are community.
Community.
And it's actually, I guess it's really just hanging on me now. Mm. Community. And yeah, like, what do I envisage for the future, and then having, and then trying to guide my actions towards that.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll take away community as well, and being the example that I want Shadi Me to have.
I think I'll take both of those, so community and being an example, and also remembering all of these types of things, because I think it's all well and good to have these intentions, but sometimes time will just pass you by and you haven't taught them any of those things that you intended to. So trying to kind of be very conscious of remembering, these are the things that I want to instill in her. Don't let her get to 15 and you haven't taught her anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then this is a whole different conversation, but then it becomes a question of, how do you make sure that you continue to do that? What's the action plan? How are you remembering these things? That's a whole different conversation.
Well, action plan number one is keep listening to Shades of Black Parenting
podcast.
And then you can figure out the rest.
And I've got something for you guys. So what I'll say now is that we should have a play date.
Yes.
For the children.
Yes, no, please.
For the community.
Please, no, definitely.
So we'll
definitely.
Do that.
Definitely.
Awesome.
And we have some in the pipeline. Don't we? Okay.
Yes. No, we do. We just have to schedule a date, but we do. Oh yeah, we've got quite a few bits.
Thank you so much, Alima.
Thank you, Alima, for hosting us in your beautiful home.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for being a wonderful guest.
Yes. Thank you for your insights and everything.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.
All right. Happy International Women's Day, everybody.